Some people think of Norman Baker as being like a Nazi butcher. Some people think of him as just a heartless con man. And some people think of him the way he described himself, as a natural healer who was just way ahead of his time and challenged the medical authorities at the time and fell victim to prejudice against experimental medicine.
Keith Scales, a London native, playwright, film, and classical theater actor, moved to Eureka Springs last year from the West Coast to concentrate on the creation of original work for page, stage, and screen. When he learned the Crescent Hotel needed a manager to run its popular ghost tour attraction, he took the job for cash. He oversees 6 tour guides. And that's when he first ran into the legend of Norman Baker, who operated a cancer hospital in the Crescent 80 years ago. And many of the Crescent's ghosts are traced to Baker, who supposedly caused the death of hundreds of patients, filling the hospital morgue in the basement and raising lots of unanswerable questions.
And I would be asked questions by people who were on the tour, and pretty much have to fabricate answers to them because a lot of it just did not add up.
But he wanted the facts and was commissioned by the hotel to research Baker's life so that he could script an accurate performance monologue. He traveled to Baker's home in Muscatine, Iowa, to examine the record. Norman Glenwood Baker was born in 1882, one of 10 children to an inventor father and mentally ill mother. Half his siblings, along with his dad, died prematurely. As a young man, he dabbled in vaudeville and mentalism, then later fabricated and patented the first air kaleophone, a portable pipe organ, think circus music, which made him a good deal of money. He eventually found his voice operating his own high-powered transmission radio station in Nuevo Laredo along the Texas-Mexico border, part of the so-called Border Blaster era. Baker preached a positive message to a nation overcome by the Great Depression, also convincing them about natural healing and the power of the mind, inculcating hundreds of thousands of followers, Scales said.
And my perception is that the reason he became interested in it was because there was a lot of money to be made in it.
In savvy at mail order, Baker sold health cures, especially cancer formulas. And in 1929, he opened the Baker Institute in Muscatine to conduct inpatient cancer treatment using his own secret remedy.
I called it secret remedy number 5. We know what was in it. It was herbs. And I can give you the recipe if you like. It was composed of what he called very carefully measured quantities of ground up watermelon seed, red clover, brown corn silk, glycerin, peppermint, and a little carbolic acid as an escharotic.
An escharotic, like zinc oxide or bloodroot, is said to kill cancerous tissue. The other ingredients are today characterized as strong antioxidants. Baker had no medical training or degree, so hired physicians and nurses, likely with questionable references, to administer the injections and treat patients. They did no surgery or x-ray therapy, both conventional cancer treatments at that time.
The fact is that people came to Norman Baker after they had pretty much tried everything else. They were pretty much terminal when they came to Norman Baker. And even though the ingredients that are in those herbs may be great preventatives, I don't believe that they helped anybody who was terminal.
Norman Baker was part of a vocal anti-medical establishment movement that espoused via his popular radio broadcasts a philosophy known as natural hygiene, the use of herbal remedies, fresh foods, clean water, and exercise to cure disease, today called naturopathy. But the American Medical Association, founded in 1847 to advance scientific-based standards and practices, saw Baker and others like him as fakes and opportunists. They, conversely, viewed the AMA as a controlling medical monopoly run by powerful Jews. In the end, the AMA shuttered Baker's Muscatine Clinic, as well as another near Laredo. And the then Federal Radio Commission, today the FCC, pressured by the AMA, killed Baker's border radio operation, wrecking his best and most lucrative advertising medium. Still, Baker pushed forward to build a chain of cancer clinics, fashioned after the popular holistic Kellogg TB Sanatorium. And he set his sights on a dilapidated Victorian-era health spa in the Ozark Mountains, Eureka Springs.
In 1937, there were 1,700 people here desperate for somebody to come from outside and provide some work for the locals. The Crescent Hotel had been sitting empty for 3 years, and it was going cheap, and it was an existing facility. So he bought this place and the two parks around it, 28 acres altogether, for $40,000, and converted it into a cancer-curable hospital as the first step towards something that would rival the Mayo Clinic in his imagination.
He said about investing another $50,000 to renovate the Crescent into a 100-bed medical facility, complete with a penthouse suite for himself. The Baker Hospital opened in 1938. There's no written record of why he did this, Scale said, but Baker painted portions of the hotel using what appears to be sacred geometry and chromotherapy or color therapy. The theory goes that color stimulates certain healing responses. Red benefits the kidneys, green promotes good heart function, blue helps the throat. Baker himself was smitten with the color purple. He wore it, drove a lavender convertible, and painted the hotel in it. Supposedly, and there's no indication that Baker espoused this, purple stimulates the nervous system, cerebral cortex, and pituitary gland, and connects to universal energies, as well as transmits ideas and information.
When he took the hotel over, it had been sitting empty for 3 years, and before that, for a quarter of a century, it was a conservatory for young ladies. So it was very somber and Victorian. And he came in and he painted it in the most garish colors. His defenders say that it was Art Nouveau. I think it looked more like a circus. And his justification was that he wanted a place where people could feel cheerful and healthy and actually get better and would lift their spirits rather than a dull place where they could sit around and feel miserable.
You can still see remnants of Baker's chromotherapy on the hotel's purple brick chimneys. And according to the record, U.S. Congressman Claude Fuller, a native and then patriarch of Eureka Springs, claimed that Baker Hospital brought great prosperity to Eureka Springs.
Claude Fuller, who was a congressman in Eureka Springs and initially at least a friend of Baker's, told Congress that at any given time, Baker had 500 to 600 people in Eureka Springs taking his alternative cancer treatment. What that means is that they could not all be accommodated in the Crescent Hotel, so everybody in town was opening up rooms thanks to Norman Baker. Everybody was making a lot of money here.
Keith Scale says we don't know much about Baker's personality, but according to old photographs, Baker was exceedingly handsome. And combined with his mentalist abilities, he could sway an audience.
This was a man with many faces, as well as many talents, and many ways of manipulating other people. It does seem that people who knew him very well didn't come off very well from the relationship. People who didn't know him at all thought he was charming, until he got to know him very well and tried to do business with him, and he always came out the winner.
But in the end would lose a protracted and very public battle with the AMA that sought to crush Baker and others like him, most notably John Brinkley and Harry Hoxsey, also making millions off natural cures, some of them extreme. 20 months after the Baker Hotel in Eureka Springs opened, it closed. The AMA contended Baker was practicing medicine without a license, preying especially on uneducated working poor and the desperate. That charge never stuck, but he was tried in federal court in Little Rock.
He was charged with fraud, fraudulent use of the U.S. mails. And the fraud was that he was bringing people to Eureka Springs on the promise that he could cure them when he knew he couldn't. Well, they convicted him.
While in prison, Scale says, Baker invented a power of thought mail order course based on the theory of auto-suggestion. And after his release, he attempted once more to open a health facility at Muscatine, but failing that, moved to Miami, Florida, where he lived for the next 15 years on a yacht owned by railroad tycoon and robber baron Jay Gould. Baker died in Florida in 1958 from cirrhosis of the liver, complicated by a carcinoma. Although he married briefly younger in his life, he had no descendants. Court case documents, Keith Scales found, state that Baker had accumulated $4 million in profits, equivalent to $52 million today.
And nobody knows what he did with all his money. because he never put money in banks, or very, very little. He kept it. What he said was, a cold, hard cash in a good hiding place. That's my idea of financial security. And so there's a lot of money still missing.
And Baker Hospital medical records have long disappeared. So who ended up surviving treatment and who ended up in the Baker Hospital morgue will never be known.
And one of the sightings that has been reported over the years is that people in the laundry have seen a man walking through wearing a white suit and a purple shirt on his way, apparently, to the area which is now the maintenance department, but used to be the morgue.
Norman Baker, checking on the status of his supply chain? Maybe. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.